At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. Final hour of work. Man, these shows just fly by. Joe Serralo, Jared Smith, presented, of course, this episode of Live Bet Saturday on VSiN by our good friends over at DraftKings. Let's take a look. I got the DraftKings app open right here. I want to check a live line. Lakers up 26-21 on the Nuggets, inside 2 minutes to go on the first quarter. So Denver down 5. LA has won every first quarter this year.
Have they really? All four?
I'm like 95% sure.
That's an interesting stat, actually. Caesar, look that up. Have they really had the lead after every four first quarters?
I think this is making them 4-4. They were up 10 game 3.
Yeah, they were definitely up in game 2. They were absolutely up. I forgot about game 1.
I think game 1 that they were up 8.
Wow.
Yeah. Lakers,
the Lakers money line has cashed all. Now, granted, there's a minute left. They might not cash here, but they're up 5 with a minute left. Like, we're assuming that they will. Lakers money line has cashed 4 out of the 4 games. That's crazy in the first quarter.
And the smartest way to play this, I got to give my father credit. We were talking about this the other night. He's been waiting for the first quarter every game to bet the Nuggets live.
Can we get your father? Can we get your father on the show? That's really sharp. That's really sharp, Mr. Serralo. Really sharp.
Yeah, it's a great way to go about it. I mean, look, and he and I have talked. I think you and I talked about this a week ago, Jared. He and I have talked about this for a couple years now. How the NBA is just so much better to wait for that one team to take an early run and then, you know, bet the other side live. That's just the basketball rule of thumb. But now you look at this series in particular, and I think the Nuggets right now. Money line, even odds. If I could use the app in California right now, it would be a done deal.
Right.
I mean, this to me is a no-brainer, taking Denver money line at even odds right here as we're inside a minute to go in the first quarter.
33-25, 28-24, 33-23, now 28-21 with a minute left. I mean, this has been – I think that encapsulates the Nuggets perfectly. They know they don't need to have – a hot 12 minutes to start. They're that confident that they're going to win this series that they don't even bring you their best stuff the first quarter. Like, a team like the Nuggets, as good as they are, to go 4 consecutive games in the playoffs without winning a first quarter and to still win the game, that parlay must have been an unbelievable payout. Like, Lakers money line first quarter, Denver money line game, parlayed times 3 and now 4. I can't even imagine what that would have been. It just really shows how I guess even keeled they are, because eventually you go down in the first quarter enough times, a playoff team like the Lakers will just win, because eventually you're going to lose a game that you fall behind in, right? You can't come back every game.
Eventually, but it also just shows you the NBA. I mean,
yes,
there's a reason why, you know, you talk about in the NBA that you don't really watch much of the regular season. I don't either, but if I do, and I sound like the Dos Equis man, I don't always watch the NBA regular season, But when I do, I turn it on in the fourth quarter. That's the only way to watch the NBA to me in the regular season. Playoffs, I'll watch the full game. But the first quarter, playoffs or regular season, the first quarter doesn't really matter. And Denver is showing you that you don't want to dig yourself in a hole like the Heat did, where, I mean, they had 6 points throughout the first, 8 minutes today? It's one thing to dig yourself into such a deep hole, you can't work your way out of it. But the first quarter, even the first half for some teams, if you just tread water and just, you know, keep it within a certain target, you can turn it on in the last 12 minutes in this league and win a game that way. It's something that you can't do in a lot of other sports, but, you know, it's unique to the NBA, especially, I would say, more so in the last decade or so.
I have zero doubts in my mind after watching this first quarter that Nikola Jokic is going to, barring a blowout for Denver where he doesn't play in the fourth quarter, like if this game stays close and he plays his normal allotment of minutes, I am about 100%. So he has 7 rebounds in the first quarter. Like he's getting double-digit rebounds, and he has 3 assists. So if there's a live bet on there for you for Jokic to have a triple-double, and I know some books do offer live bets for props, I would absolutely be smashing that right now because the Lakers have the lead, which would lead you to believe that we're at least going to have a somewhat competitive game in the second half. The only way that that won't hit is, again, the allotment of minutes, and it could go both directions. What I guess the question I'll throw it back to, what are the odds that the Lakers open up a big lead and the Nuggets say, okay, we'll see you in Denver a couple days?
That would be intriguing because I was looking at this coming into the game, thinking maybe Jokic gets a bit of a rest night here, maybe look under on his rebound number, which is always a really high number. That would be intriguing to me if they fall behind early, if they say give the big man the final 24 minutes off, final 12 minutes off even, and we'll do this the gentleman's way. We'll just take game 5 on our court. But I don't see them falling behind that far, frankly. I don't see that happening.
Neither do I. But I do think it's an intriguing way to protect yourself against the Nuggets losing this game. Because if, again, it goes back to the original point of Denver has already shown us their, I don't want to say their true colors, but they are comfortable. Here, I like that word better. Denver has shown us they are comfortable playing the game at their speed. They don't care if you get off. They've fallen behind in 4 straight first quarters, and they're leading the series 3-0. They don't care if they're behind. They don't care if they're facing adversity. I think the confidence they have because of the run from last year and just, frankly, Jokic's unassuming nature, they're just so even-keeled. I could absolutely see them in the fourth quarter being down 15 and just saying, you know what? We'll see you next week. My point being, next week, technically Monday. My point being, Lakers, like, all minus a spread might be an interesting changeup. Because right now we keep talking about, okay, where is the spot to buy in on the Nuggets? I agree. That is the plus EV standard live betting strategy. But I think the contrarian strategy is see how long you could keep this Lakers team in front, and the odds are going to keep stacking against the Nuggets making their comeback at some point. Maybe you flip it on the other side and you say, all right, let's take a little flyer on Lakers minus 8.5, 7.5, really 6.5, 7 being a key number there in basketball. That would be, I think, a more intriguing live bet from a plus money perspective.
Right. Well, how about the fact, I don't know if we're moving the books over here on this edition of Live Bet Saturday. The
Probably
Lakers
not.
Are up 5 after the first quarter. And now the Nuggets are favored on the money line. Got to lay $1.35 for Denver, the Lakers plus 105. So something shifted there because when it was 26-21, still a 5-point differential just a minute and a half of game time ago, the Lakers were favorites, and now they're pretty considerable underdogs. I mean, that's a 40-cent swing right there. Something shifted. I don't know if everyone said, all right, first quarter's over, now let me go run to put in Denver. But something absolutely changed there.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think a lot of it is the hard part with the live markets is the algorithm is like some offshore AI computer
right.
That doesn't understand context. It just takes money and moves the number. So it continuously creates the number based off of, I don't know, whatever random inputs they put in there. And then as they, like during breaks in the game, like this, end first quarter, start second quarter, that's when money will come in and then the algorithm just moves. So it probably just money came in on the Nuggets. and move the number. But again, flip it on the other side. Like I do think the live bet I'd be making now, I'm not ready to buy the Nuggets yet. I think I would wait until at least halftime here to see how they play in the second quarter. Because I think Lakers minus 6.5 at plus 235. I think if I'm going to make a live bet right now, that's the bet I would make. Because again, you have to think about it in terms of money coming in. The low-hanging fruit is, and again, your dad's a genius for this, but also if he's thinking it, everyone's thinking it.
Right.
Let's wait, let's bet the Nuggets, and let's get the even odds. If everyone's thinking it, it's not a good number. It's a bad number. So the better number is to back on the other side. That doesn't mean there might not be a good spot to buy the Nuggets at some point in this game. I just don't know, down 5 in the first quarter, laying odds, I'd rather go on the other side with it right now. We'll see. Let's see what happens in the second quarter. Let's see if the Nuggets wake up. If they don't wake up by halftime, I don't know. That might be where I hit the buy button on Lakers laying a price.
Well, I don't know. Denver, I think 2 out of the 3 games in this series, they've actually trailed at halftime.
That's crazy. Yeah. They've won all.
On the right.
It's crazy.
So like I said, it just shows you first half, in some cases the first 3 quarters, but the first half, nothing's being decided at halftime.
Agreed.
At least not in this series. Some series, okay, maybe. Oklahoma City, Boston, those games earlier today, those games looked pretty decided. This one, these have all been, for the most part, pretty good games. Hey, Jared, we're inside the 2-minute warning here. I do want to circle back a little bit just because I was really intrigued by what you were saying about defensive rookies at the end of the last segment.
Yeah, let's get back
to
that.
And we can, carry this into the next segment. But that market, you mentioned looking for, tangible stats, something like sats, and having a little more value there. What else do you see in that market? Because that's way more interesting to me than the offensive rookie of the year.
Well, listen, guys. 5 out of the last 6 have all been OLBs, D linemen. Sauce Gardner went in there and did his thing. I don't know if I see Sauce Gardner and Terry and Arnold. I don't see that comparison, and I don't think Detroit's going to play that style of defense. So I would not bet Arnold in this market. I think I'd focus on the D linemen that are going to be up in the quarterback's grill all night, and you're going to be hearing their names a lot. I think Verse makes sense. The Rams are not your typical, flyer that took him in the mid first round. Like, they've got a quarterback who can, has won a Super Bowl and can win one again if they get hot. And I do think he fits in perfectly with their scheme. I think Byron Murphy with Seattle's like the ideal scheme fit. And obviously Atlanta should have taken him at 8, but their loss is Seattle's gain. And he's a guy I think that will be absolute rock star starter day one. Chop Robinson also in Miami. He's going to take the spot that Wilkins eviscerated there, or Phillips. And I think that scheme in Miami with Robinson, he was really productive at Penn State. I think those are the 3 guys I would look at in this market.
Well, let's dive a little deeper when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's Live Bet Saturday right here only on VSiN, presented by Draft.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
All
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make sure you head on over to VSiN.com. If you haven't already, go check out our exclusive articles like Adam Burke's Daily Baseball Winners, Betting Splits, exclusive articles, and betting tools, those and a whole lot more, only at VSiN.com. Keeping it moving with you on this Saturday afternoon. Now I would say Saturday evening or Saturday night, pretty much everywhere in the U.S. Joe Cirillo alongside Jared Smith and the NFL draft conversation, never dying. It was draft weekend, Thursday night. Some crazy things going down in Detroit in front of a record-setting live audience. Those people in Detroit really came out for the draft. It was a fun draft. You know, I mean, last few years, we've seen some weird drafts. Obviously, the COVID draft, none weirder than seeing, I think, was Mike Vrabel's son on the bowl during Tennessee's pick. But this crowd, they brought the energy. Jared, a lot to talk about in this defensive rookie of the year market. I want to touch on a guy you just mentioned who we both agree Atlanta should have taken with the eighth pick, Byron Murphy. The kid's a stud. He's going to wreak havoc, I think, right off the bat. You mentioned he's a perfect schematic fit in Seattle's system. I don't know if he'd be as inclined to be someone I would lean to bet on to win defensive rookie of the year here, only because he's mainly an interior defensive lineman. And yes, you could have an exception, someone like Aaron Donald, who goes out there as an interior D lineman and he racks up some insane numbers and insane stats. But typically when you're winning awards, it doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of winning games, but for winning awards, they want to see some numbers in the box score and a little bit of stat sheet stuffing. And Byron Murphy, it's obviously, you know, unless you're Aaron Donald, much less likely for an interior D lineman, for a D tackle, to go out there and rack up sacks equivalent to a Jared Verse or a Dallas Turner coming off the edge. So because of his position, same with your sentiment when it comes to D-backs, because of his position, I'm less inclined to love Murphy for defensive rookie of the year, even though when it comes to actual impact, he may have the biggest impact immediately of any rookie in this defensive class.
Agreed. Fantastic analysis. I think there is a path for him to win it, just like Aaron Donald won it. Also, Sheldon Richardson, back-to-back years, actually, interior defensive lineman won defensive rookie of the year. But I'll read you the names that have won the last seven, and you could tell me what they have in common, right? Will Anderson, Sauce Gardner, all right, there's your corner, Micah Parsons, Chase Young, Nick Bosa, Shaq Leonard. I think that's the guys that I would be focused on. Jared Verse, I say fits that. Chop Robinson fits that. There's some other guys probably further down on the board that fit that. I think the Peyton Wilson pick's interesting too, right? We talked about Cincinnati. The Bengals had a really, like, which, and here's another way to frame it, right? And I don't off the top of my head know the records of all of the other teams I just mentioned that those players played for. But I do know what record the Houston Texans had last year with Will Anderson.
Right. Who made an impact immediately on the entire team.
That's why you might not want to bet a Jared Verse, because we just don't know how good the Rams will be. That's why you might be more intrigued to bet a guy like Peyton Wilson, who's playing for the Bengals, who we think is going to have a big bounce back Joe Burrow year. I got that right. It is Peyton Wilson was the Bengals, right? I just want to make sure I'm not completely butchering that analysis.
Yeah, I thought that was... Shoot, now I'm second
guessing. Was it Pittsburgh or Cincinnati? It was either or, one of the two that we were talking about earlier with Joe.
I'm pretty sure it was Pittsburgh. It was Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's fair. Handicap still applies. Like, we think Pittsburgh's going to have a better year win-loss-wise. I guess maybe Russell Wilson might determine a lot of that. But
I think it's going to be Justin Fields sooner rather than later.
Could be. That's a whole nother. We could do a whole 4 hours.
Oh, yeah. Mike Tomlin doesn't care what your name is. He doesn't care what you did 5 years ago. Mike Tomlin's a no-nonsense guy. It's why I love him and why every year I just hold my nose. And despite what I think about the Steelers roster, I take over 8.5 wins. I think Mike Tomlin's going to really, you know, look, I like Russell Wilson.
Yeah, me
Some
too.
Of his Mr. Unlimited crap. I don't know what the heck he's doing because he was so likable before all that stuff. But if Russ isn't cooking, then it's going to be Justin Fields' turn pretty soon.
Yeah, and again, back to the D-Roy. So it's the same thing we talked about at the top of the draft with Caleb Williams and with you know, the other players at the top of that offensive rookie of the year market. Dallas Turner and Laiatu, you know, match that. I would say Dallas Turner matches it the most. Like, the Vikings, we expect, you know, they've got all the pieces. Like, if J.J. McCarthy comes in and does what he's supposed to do, the Vikings should go to the playoffs next year. Like, we've seen teams with rookie quarterbacks make really big pushes if those rookies are ready. I don't know if J.J.'s ready, but if he is ready, Dallas Turner at the top's the most obvious choice. But 4-1 is not nearly enough of a price for me to invest in this market for the next 6 to 8 months. I would much rather wait to let the entire preseason process play out and see where things shake come week one, even week four or five, because 4-1 is not going to turn into minus money overnight. Like, I'd be interested in what the odds were for Will Anderson last year. Like, I'd be willing to bet he wasn't the favorite, like the favorite. Like, okay, he's definitely winning until much later in the year. So you have time to bet guys like Dallas Turner and Laiatu, who are the most obvious choices because of the position that they play. Your goal now, if you're betting this market, should be to try to find and guess which of those bottom tier teams are going to overachieve, like the Houston Texans, and try to get your money invested on players that play for that team. Maybe it is the Vikings, right? Like,
could it be the Colts? I mean, could be the Colts. You know, Anthony Richardson coming back, looking, if he stays healthy, if he looks good, you know, it wouldn't shock me if Indianapolis jumps Jacksonville in the standings in that division. Look, I don't think any of us are high on Tennessee this year. They're probably the last place team. I've been lower than most on Jacksonville, and we saw the way that they collapsed, you know, last season. What did they start 8-3 and they finished 9-8? I mean, they had an abysmal second half. So if AR comes out, the Colts were already, you know, they didn't miss the wild card by a whole lot last year, one or two games out of the playoff race. They were in it pretty much till the end. If AR stays healthy, you know, maybe works some magic. DeForest Buckner, they got a good front seven in Indianapolis. And I mentioned, you know, Murphy, how interior D linemen usually have to bear the brunt of the work, you know, clog up the holes, and they don't really get to stuff the box score, stuff the stat sheet as much as they like. But if Buckner's inside and Laiatu comes in and he ends up racking up some sacks at 7-1, I'd probably rather put my money towards Laiatu than Turner, just based on the value and the fact that it kind of is a toss-up to me as to who might have the better year.
I agree with here's where you're right, and here's where I agree with making the bet on Laiatu. If your handicap is Laiatu deserves to be the favorite, you're right. There's upside there. But again, it goes back to a personal bankroll management decision. How much am I investing right now? Probably for 7-1, not that much anyways. Right. Are you willing to lock that money up for 6 months? And I think I would be. The one thing that scares me is the long-term injuries that we won't know until the season starts. If a guy gets hurt on the field playing, I can live with that. If a guy gets hurt leaving his shower in July before even getting to training camp, that's when I'm like, man, I should have waited. So I think that's where the unexpected injury, like, that number's not going to move that much from July till week one to where you can at least avoid the absurdly ridiculous, catastrophic preseason injury. I'll be honest, though. The more I examine this board and the more I examine what we just talked about with Houston, I am trying to piece together who is this year's Houston Texans. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the same scheme where it's a rookie quarterback doing it, but it has to be a team that is unheralded with a young core and a young coach that I think got a lot better in the draft. And I think I know what that team is. I think it's Arizona. And I think Darius Robinson's the guy I'd bet here at 30-1. That is a number that will move over the next 6 months before the season starts if things go well in camp. Here's why. I love Jonathan Gannon a lot. Arizona last year was the biggest surprise to me in the entire season. They could have mailed that season in. Kyler Murray was hurt. It was a rookie head coach with a hodgepodge of talent around him. Remember, they traded for Josh Dobbs like the week before the season. They were punting on the entire season. And that end of the year was really impressive. Kyler Murray came back, looked healthy, looked fresh, looked engaged, invested. And what did they do in the draft? They got him the best, I think, overall weapon. And they also got, I think, one of the best edge rushers in Darius Robinson, who in the SEC had a very productive career and had a very good tape. So if Shane Steichen can do in Indy what maybe Jonathan Gannon's starting to do in Arizona, in the desert, I think Arizona could be that team that overexceeds any of our expectations. And if that's the case and Darius Robinson has a big year on the edge, 30-1's a price that, all right, there's some upside to that number.
Yeah, that's a number you can invest in this far in advance, especially if, like you just alluded to, you think it might move. I love the breakdown on Arizona. Here's a reason, because Kyler Murray has been a bit up and down, and the Cliff Kingsbury stuff, I blame most of that on Kingsbury, truthfully. The reason I think Arizona could be legit, everyone said they'd trade out of that four spot. They didn't. They stayed pat. They took the generational talent. They showed they're invested, and I respect that. More when we come back.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, presented by DraftKings. I'm Joe Cirillo, live from Los Angeles. Jared, I've got such FOMO after doing those shows with you last week down there in Circa. That beautiful sports book they got over there, man, I miss it. I got to get back out there. I'm looking at all those screens going behind you on a Saturday where across baseball, hoops, hockey, you've just got nothing but nonstop action. And man, the FOMO is absolutely flowing through my veins.
Man, I'll be honest. It is a fun place to do a show. I think you don't realize it. Yeah, there's a good shot. Now, it's not the sexiest shot because there really ain't a whole lot going on tonight. I know the NBA playoffs are happening, but, you know, it's kind of a quiet. I would say it's relatively quiet tonight. When this place is popping, like March Madness, Final Four, I did the Saturday night show here, the night of the Final Four. We did a Masters show here that Saturday night. The Masters is always big here. They went absolutely bananas at Stadium Swim for that. And I'm not just saying this because I work here. I don't work for Circa. I work for DraftKings and VSiN. But I think this place is the best place to watch a game. I honestly do. Like it is the mecca of sports betting. And it's not because of how big the screens are, which is nice. It's the vibe, the energy. And I think that is what sets this place apart. It is the only place that is comparable to the Strip downtown. And because it is the only place downtown that really offers the things that it offers, it just has this unique energy about it where it always, even when it's empty, like right now, it's not really that crowded, but it still has that energy to it. So, yeah, you got to get your butt back here soon, pal.
It's going to happen. What I love about it, and a lot of this is a credit to the CEO, Derek Stevens, over there.
Yeah.
He designed and built that place to appeal to the sports fan, to the rowdy, passionate, energetic diehard, like just like, you know, he's a diehard of his Detroit Lions and his Michigan Wolverines himself. And so that's why the vibe there, it's not just like, yes, you could go play roulette and you can go sit down at a blackjack table. But if you're there, odds are you're there because you like, in addition to all of that fun stuff, to bet on sports as well. And speaking of a bet that I've got going on right now, let's take a live look at the Rays White Sox game. Tampa coughed up an early 3-0 lead. They were down 6-4. It's now 6-6, thanks to Randy at Rosarena. And Jared, that homer you told me about during the break by Ben Rortvedt got called back. He
what?
Was given a first base. They have second and third, one out.
Called back.
So Palacios, the leadoff hitter's up. He's 3-for-3 today. I am a single away from having Tampa run line still in play.
We're going to hit it. Don't worry. It's a sweep. We're going to hit it.
Second and third. We're going to get to it. But while we wait to see if my bet cashes or not, man, you had a hell of a bet cash, 48 hours ago? Brock Bowers, 60-1 for the Raiders. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. The actual bet was the Raiders to take a tight end. Right? It wasn't a Bowers bet, but who else in the first round would have gone?
Yeah, so this is where, and to be fair, like I'm not this professional gambler that like has all this sharp insight. I listen, I'm very receptive, and I absorb things when people say them to me. I do a lot of shows, a lot of content. I'm very fortunate that I get a chance to interact with a lot of people who are way more plugged into these markets than me. I did a podcast on Tuesday, 2 days before the draft, with Doug Kazarian, who, you know, is a friend of this program. He appears on the network all the time on Tim Murray Show and other shows on the network. And we were going back and forth about Brock Bowers to the Jets. We had the same conversation last Saturday with your buddy Lee Jett.
Friday and Saturday, yeah.
Exactly. And the comments were about as normal as they've been throughout our process of handicapping the Jets with Bowers. It makes sense from a current situational standpoint, but long term it doesn't. They're probably going to go offensive line, but we'd like them to take Bowers. Like, that was the consensus among every Jets fan and every person that was handicapping the Jets draft, was they could go Bowers. It makes sense. No one's going to be upset. No one's going to say they're reaching. But the safer move is to take a tackle and protect Rodgers. Like, that was always the general consensus. And then we started to expand on that conversation. Okay, let's say the Jets do go tackle at 10. And really, it was 11, but that's semantics. And then 11 and 12, quarterbacks, Vikings, Broncos, McCarthy, Knicks. That was always kind of the consensus there. What do the Raiders do at 13? If the offensive tackles have kind of been chewed up a little bit, right? The Jets take one, Joe Alt, Latham, they're all gone. All six quarterbacks are also gone, which is a long shot. But based on how the draft is kind of played out, like, it's not that crazy, because we knew four quarterbacks were going to go in the top five. So the quarterback heaviness of the draft kind of created this window for the Raiders to miss out. And don't get me wrong, they desperately needed a quarterback, and they're probably going to get another one at some point. I don't know if they drafted one in the later rounds. But
I don't think they did. It shocked a lot of people.
Yeah, that is shocking. But it's not shocking if we get to the next point of this, which is Mark Davis is a bit of a wild card. What does Mark Davis do if the quarterbacks are gone and there's really no safe tackle option? Well, Brock Bowers is lined at 11.5 with his draft position. He's not going 12 to Denver. They're going quarterback. 14 to New Orleans, they have needs at tackle and quarterback. They're not going to. 15 to Indy, I could have seen that. But then you think about the Raiders and what they could do, and then the Mark Davis taking a shiny toy going rogue just kind of clicked in my head. And I'm like, you know what? This is a bet I've got to make, because 60-1, it's not that far-fetched for the Raiders to get weird here, miss on the quarterbacks, and Bowers is still there because the Jets went tackle. Those are the scenarios that had to play out in order for Bowers to go 13 of the Raiders. And they all kind of fell into place, thankfully. Doug, turned me onto that bet at a time when I was still receptive to my portfolio, and I added a full unit on Bowers at 60-1, or tight end at 60-1 for the Raiders, and it might go down as the best bet I've ever made in my entire life, outside of Martin Laird to win the Shriners Open about 2 years ago at 225-1. I know, that was a fun day too. But now we get to the real brass tacks of it. Like, we haven't talked about this in the show, but I don't really have a whole lot of upside for him. Like, Gardner Minshew's his quarterback. Like, I love Brock Bowers. I think Brock Bowers with Aaron Rodgers could have been the offensive rookie of the year, just like Sam LaPorta had a chance to be last year if it wasn't for C.J. Stroud's absurd season. But now in Vegas here with Minshew, I just don't see a whole lot of upside there. So I understand why they made the move, and I'm thrilled that they did, because it made me a boatload of money. But now that we've had a chance to let the dust settle, like, I don't really know what direction this goes for Vegas.
I'll be honest. I like this Vegas, this roster. If you look at the skill positions, that win total on your board, and I was waiting. We saw that graphic pop up behind the scenes a few minutes ago, and I was shocked. 6.5? I think that's disrespectfully low to a team that just went, 8-9? I mean, they didn't have the best year ever. Made a much-needed coaching change, and I think got a coach who can lead this team to potentially 9 wins this year, I would say, is probably their ceiling. But 6.5, their floor to me is 7 or 8. I mean, there's not a lot of variance there. You know, I think they're a 7-9 win team. I love the over 6.5. But Gardner Minshew, I mean, he's not a nobody, right? He's not going to lead you to a Super Bowl. He's probably not going to lead you to the playoffs, but he's going to win you some games. And he's got good weapons, Bowers, Devontae Adams, a kid I love out there. I mean, not to give you a full breakdown, 1-53 of the Raiders roster. But you want to talk about weapons, I like Trey Tucker. I mean, he is a speed demon who had some big games down the stretch when they blew the doors off the Chargers, the game that was the demise of Brandon Staley, Thursday Night Football. They've got weapons out there. So Minshew's not, you know, just throwing a nobody, whereas defenses can zone in, take Bowers out of the equation. and then they won't do anything. I just worry a little bit about the blocking up front. I thought this was a spot for either Fautanu out of Washington or the right tackle out of Oregon State that New Orleans took. Sorry, I can't think of the name off the top of my head, and if I'm not reading it, I know I'm going to butcher it. He's an incredible run blocker, though, and now no more Josh Jacobs. Vegas probably going to be a pass-first offense, but they had a great defense a year ago. I just think that win total at 6.5 is kind of disrespectful. I think Antonio Pierce, you're going to see them. I would love the unders for almost every Raider game. You're going to see them, I think, play some hard-nosed, smash-mouth, tough football, and they're going to be better than what the market seems to think.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the analysis. I think the market struggles to get there on the Raiders because of the division they play in, right? Yeah. Kansas City and LAC, you know, you've got to deal with Mahomes and Herbert and now Jim Harbaugh for four games. The Broncos obviously are not juggernauts, but I do think that is one of the tougher divisions in football. And I think it's, to me, like they're the clear-cut fourth or maybe tied for third in that division. So that's why I think the number is as low as it is. But I do agree with your analysis. I think they are a very feisty team that plays above their number. So while they might play in a tough division, you're going to get their best stuff every week. They're not going to roll over and die. And I think that's why they're probably a decent bet.
There's going to be very few lopsided wins coming against the Raiders, or for the Raiders for that matter, this year. A lot of close games, a lot of unders. Before we take it to the break, Jared, it was 9-2 entering the ninth in Mexico City. The final, 12-4. The under hit by half a run. Don't go anywhere. Live Bet Saturday only on VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has got you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download that DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code VSiN. New customers who do that, bet $5, you'll get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code VSiN only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. For reading the DraftKings live bet read, Jared, it makes only perfect sense to start off our last segment by taking a live look at the Lakers Nuggets. 61-48 Lakers, their biggest halftime lead of the series. Yet, only -4.5 if you were to take the Lakers here at halftime. Denver, if you were to switch reverse courses and go on the money line for them, +165. Your point earlier, Jared, this might be the Lakers' night. This might be the one where Denver down 13 at the half, unless there's an early run in the third quarter, this one might be going back to Denver.
And again, I think that's why the prop market can be very dangerous, because I do think that's where I'm leaning with the result here. But also the advice we gave earlier, like, if you're thinking to yourself, this is so obvious, I need to bet the Nuggets, they're going to win the game, they win every game, it might end up happening. You might win the bet, but you're not getting the right number. You're getting a number that the sports books are probably manipulating in some way to at least shade towards Denver. And all the money's coming in on Denver, which means the line's going to move towards Denver because that's how the live betting algorithms work. So I thought when they had the early lead, LA, and you were still having a lay on Denver, I thought that was the moment to lay the reverse, right? The alt on LA. I thought -6.5 +240, I think, was the number we quoted when they were up. I think it was 5 at the end of the first quarter.
Exactly. That's the exact number, because 6 and 7, of course, you know, people hear those, they think football, but in hoops, 3, 4, 6, 7, crucial numbers in hoops as well.
Yeah. I'd be willing to bet that number right now, -6.5 is +115 at DraftKings. So there's the equity right now. And oh, by the way, how about you come back on the other side right now? Let's say you've got Lakers -6.5 +240 in your pocket. Well, now you can come back on Nuggets +6.5 at -165. And you just made money right there. That's how you win live betting sports. I think if I were to make a bet now, sight unseen, yeah, the Nuggets are getting intriguing to me. If they do come back and if they do want to win this game, then yeah, you should take 6.5 right now, or 5.5, or wherever the number's sitting right now on your live number. Because halftime is now the natural break, and you're getting the plus price. If you're going in live on a team that is losing, it's really hard to lay points. Like, you better have a really darn good reason. Even if it's in the first quarter, I still think I would much rather wait to a point where you get to the plus sign on the number. And now you're at that point. Would I bet the Nuggets right now? No. I do think, I agree with your take. I do think this is the Lakers night. Would I be shocked if the Nuggets came back and won? Also, no.
Also, yeah, exactly.
But I think the betting opportunity was early in the first quarter when the Lakers were showing you they had some stuff tonight, and you could still get a very favorable price on them to win with margin, because if it does go in the Lakers' way, the fourth quarter will be punt city for Denver. They know they've got home court in 2 days. They are not going to overextend to try to come back in this game if, let's say, they're down 10 to 15 points when the fourth quarter starts.
You know what's really funny to me is I can only imagine the scene right now in Denver's locker room with Jokic turning to Michael Malone and going, coach, I give it 5 more minutes of high energy, and then I sit.
I could absolutely see him saying that.
Like, I could see Jokic just sitting there, like, being like, yeah, you know, you're getting a few more minutes of me, but if I'm not liking this in another half hour real time, I'm done for.
Hopefully he gets 3 more assists before that happens. That's all I'm hoping.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. for selfish personal reasons. Hey, halfway through the segment, only about 5-6 minutes left in this show. Let's take a look at the early Sunday slate. And of course, Dave Ross and Will Hill are up next with Sunday Bet Prep. So even when Jared and I are done, don't go anywhere. Stay locked into VSiN. We got to start with the early game, the obvious game, the game that we could do a 4-hour show talking about, the Knicks and the Sixers. Knicks were getting 5.5. Now they're getting 4.5. I like it, obviously, a little less than I liked the 5.5 number. But I'm into the Knicks in this game, man. And I'm into that team total going over 101.5 that you see on your board. That's a number that I'm just seeing for the first time. I'm into that. You know, the overs have actually shockingly hit every game this series. Now that I'm saying it naturally, this will be an underplay. But if it's an underplay, that's advantage Knicks. So I'm okay with that. I think that the Knicks are really going to come out after what happened in Game 3. And we talked about it earlier in the 76ers' dirty antics. And look, two things can be true about Joel Embiid. A, he dropped 50 and had an incredible game. That's true. B, he really had a dirty game, and that move against Mitchell Robinson, I think, was a flagrant 2 and cause for ejection. Not taking anything away from his performance. I mean, that third quarter was otherworldly, but the crap he pulled in the first half, which ultimately led to Mitchell Robinson leaving the game and now being questionable for tomorrow, the Knicks better go out there. And I said this earlier, and if, you know, obviously as the show flows, we lose some viewers, we gain some new ones. I'll echo this sentiment again. I'm not saying the Knicks should play dirty, but the Knicks need to make sure that their presence is felt specifically by Joel Embiid. You need to bang some elbows. You need to, you know, bang knees, bang elbows. Anytime he enters the paint, you need to make sure he feels it. And that's how the Knicks win this game.
There's no doubt about it. I don't know if they're going to do it. The first few minutes will be interesting. This is a game that has live betting written all over it. And frankly, to be fair, all of the sides to me always are live. But I have not bet one side yet in the playoffs. I don't want to rule out the fact that I will at some point, but it is not my preferred method of betting in the postseason. It is the prop market all the way. I think it's Brunson, guys. I think it's Brunson rebounds and assists, right? Right, Joe? We hit that in the last game, and it was an easy win. He got there in assists alone.
Assists alone, that was the key. Because we had texted before that game, and I like the rebounds play, and he came up a couple shy.
Again, I think without Randle on the floor, I think his game gets taken to the next level. He has done an unbelievable job taking his game to the next level without Randle on the floor. He's just not scoring it at a really high clip. Now, he did get back in the scoring column in the last game at a high rate, but I still think the rebounds and assist number is a little bit undervalued. Also, the injury to Mitchell Robinson. There's going to have to be more of an emphasis on the guards rebounding in this game. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I cashed with Brunson's rebounds and assists in the last game. Hartenstein points and rebounds was also a very profitable prop, not only in the last game, but in the entire series, frankly. And I think though, if you're going to focus on the Knicks side of the ledger, I think those are the two guys I would focus on. I'll be frank. I don't feel very confidently about the Knicks' chances of winning this game tomorrow.
I feel good. I
appreciate that optimism. Maybe it's the pessimist in me, and that's kind of been the day it's been. But I think there's a vibe to me that says if they don't punch early, they might be in trouble. Like, they might come out tomorrow and drop the first punch. And if they do, I'm in. But if Embiid is doing his thing early in this game and they don't push back early in this game, I think Philly's got the edge mentally after what they did in the last game. Call it dirty, call it bullying. I don't care what you call it. Down the stretch, they made shots and they stopped the Knicks from making shots and they won that game. And now the Knicks have to toughen up.
They absolutely do. And that's another thing, by the way. I don't think Philadelphia, you know, two things went very, very right for the 76ers. Embiid dropped 50 and they shot 48% from beyond the arc. I don't think Philadelphia shoots 48% from beyond the arc again, not against this Knicks defense that against the perimeter or just overall as a defensive unit has been consistently one of the best this year. So they got him in a rare spot where Brunson had a great offensive game, but it was just shot for shot. And at the end of the day, Philly made a couple more shots. The Knicks still shot really well from three. And just a minute ago, Jared, you said if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm going back to Josh Hart as my best bet for this game over 1.5 threes. Now, this was a plus money play a few games ago. Now you're laying $1.25, but it hasn't moved from 1.5 to 2.5. So as long as it sits at 1.5, I'm going back to Josh Hart over 1.5 threes in this one. I love that play. And obviously, if the Knicks are going to be competitive, Josh Hart is going to be a crucial, integral part of any success they have.
Yeah, I think even though it didn't move off of 1.5, going from it was like plus 150.
Plus 140 game one.
Yeah, that's a pretty sizable move. Again, you have to think of it in win probability perspectives. This is rough math off the top of my head. Plus 140 is like 40%, and minus 125 is now getting close to like 60%. So that's a pretty big win probability shift on the implied odds. But I hope you win.
The shooting's been different the last 3 weeks, though. Even end of the regular season, his outside shot has completely changed.
I agree.
So I'm comfortable with it. But that does it. 4 hours together. Jared Smith, Joe Cirillo, only on Live Bet Saturday. Don't go anywhere. Dave Ross and Will Hill are up next with Sunday Bet Prep right here on VSiN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.